The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
To receive eternal salvation, does one need to believe God guarantees it, or just that Jesus is the Christ? That's the question we're going to answer on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us for the show today. Now, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got a burning question, hop on your computer or your device and send us an email. It's radio@faithalone.org. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we are answering your questions. Here is a question from Matt. And Matt was reading Faith in His Name by Zane Hodges. And on page 57, let me see if I can find it.
And that's a commentary on John 1 through half of chapter 6.
It was kind of like his notes.
When he was working on a commentary, Zane Hodges was, when he passed. So we published what he had completed. That was through about 6:15, I think.
Right. On John 3:16, here's what Zane says about John 3:16. Zane says, quote, "By this point in John's book, we have already seen what it means to believe in him. Very simply, it means to recognize Jesus as the Christ, for which the term Son of God is a synonym. The fact that Jesus is the Christ has been confessed explicitly." Matt says the point he seems to be making is that if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, which is a synonym for Christ, that he guarantees you eternal life. But you guys usually say you have to believe that Jesus guarantees eternal life to anyone who believes in him for it. That sounds slightly different to me. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, he guarantees your eternal life. But you guys are saying you have to believe that he guarantees you eternal life to have eternal life.
Yes, that's a very perceptive question by Matt. I had discussions on this issue with Zane Hodges over the years, so I know what he would say. One of the reasons why I don't always say something like, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you have everlasting life, or if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you have everlasting life, is because of what Matt's talking about here. Most people do not recognize that when John uses that expression, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, he means he's the guarantor of everlasting life to the one who believes in him.
Right.
I think the easiest way to see that, Matt, is to look at John 11, 25 to 27. Now, I'm sure if Hodges had completed this commentary on John, this would have been one of the places he went. But maybe you could read that, John.
Sure. This is the famous dialogue that Jesus has with Martha. Lazarus has just died, and Jesus says that your brother will rise again. And Martha says, well, I know he's going to rise in the resurrection at the last day.
Right.
But then Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?
All right, let's stop there for the moment.
Yeah.
Okay, now Jesus is essentially making one promise in two different ways. He's promising that the one who believes in him will never die spiritually. I am the life, meaning I am everlasting life. So he who lives and believes in me shall never die. That is, once you have everlasting life, you have it forever. And another way of saying that is, he who believes in me, though he may die physically, yet he shall live physically. That's the promise of bodily resurrection. And of course, we know unbelievers are resurrected too. Revelation 20, 11 through 15 says that.
Yeah.
But the difference is they're not raised with glorified bodies. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Raised with a pain-free body, a body that will go through all of eternity with no more pain, no more suffering. And so what Jesus is promising in 25 and the first part of 26 is basically what we call eternal security. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Then he asks her, do you believe this? Now, how about reading her response, which doesn't seem like it quite is saying what Jesus said.
She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world.
Now, did Jesus say anything about the Christ, the Son of God?
No, he doesn't. He just says what he can do.
Right.
His authority, his power to do this.
Right. In fact, what he guarantees.
Right.
And when he says, do you believe this? she doesn't examine her prayer life or examine, you know, her works. She just says, yes, Lord.
Right.
And that would have been a sufficient answer. But then she explains why she believes it. Yes, Lord, I believe that. Jesus spoke of believing in, pistuo eis.
Yeah.
She says, I believe that, pistuo hati. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.
Yeah.
What Martha is saying is, I recognize that's what the Christ, the Son of God, guarantees.
That's what he does. That's what it means to be the Christ or the Savior.
Right. So therefore, to believe that Jesus is the Christ equals to believe that he guarantees me everlasting life.
Like, that's what you're supposed to understand. That's what it means in John's gospel.
Right. And in 1 John 5:1. In 1 John 5:1, John says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God.
Right.
Now, you can sometimes have just the Christ. For example, in John chapter 4, with the woman at the well, Jesus tells her, if you ask me for this living water, I'll give it to you, and it will spring up into you into everlasting life, and you'll never thirst again. And the conversation ends up with, we know Messiah is coming, and Jesus says, I who speak to you am he. She comes to believe he's the Messiah.
Yeah.
Who guarantees that you'll never thirst again.
Mm-hmm.
Who guarantees everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
And so she leaves her water pot behind,
yeah,
which symbolizes the old water, the water that wouldn't give everlasting life. And she goes and shares the living water with the men of her village.
Right.
Could this be the Messiah? Could this be the Christ? Well, she knows it is, but the reason she says it that way is she's a woman of low reputation. So I think Hodges' point is well taken, and that is to believe that Jesus is the Christ in the biblical sense,
right,
is to believe he guarantees my eternal destiny.
So, like, what if someone, though, thought the Christ is the guy, he's a political hero, and he's going to kick the Romans' butt?
There were a lot of Jews in the first century,
right,
that thought that way.
So if you believed, hey, this is Jesus, the guy who's going to kick the Romans' butt, he's the Messiah in that sense, is that enough to be saved?
No. In fact, there were times when the Jewish people were trying to take Jesus by force to make him rule over the Romans and overthrow the Romans. That wasn't what Jesus was doing in his first coming.
Right.
It was his second coming that was going to be the case. Now, unfortunately, Israel in the first century rejected him. If Israel had believed in him, then Jesus would have returned within 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the kingdom would have started around A.D. 40. But because they rejected him, there's this long delay.
So to have eternal life, you have to believe in Jesus is the Christ in the biblical sense.
Right.
And the biblical sense is that he is the Savior who brings eternal life to believers.
Exactly. Right? I had a friend, I haven't seen him in many years, who got a doctorate and multiple seminary degrees and real sharp guy. And he had this discussion with me. And at one point he said, well, almost everybody in Christianity believes Jesus is the Christ. And I said, well, no, what you're saying is they would say he's God's anointed.
Right.
He's Messiah.
That's what the word literally means,
right,
the anointed.
But they do not believe that he guarantees their eternal destiny. And as a result, they don't believe the biblical concept of Jesus as the Christ.
Like, it's not enough to believe that Jesus was anointed with oil, which I don't even know that he ever was literally. Was he?
Well, only when they were preparing him for death, you know, the women put an oil on his head.
I guess Mary poured oil, spikenard, on his feet, maybe. But, okay, so even if he was literally anointed with oil, even though that's what Christ literally means.
Of course, John 3:16 doesn't mention, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It doesn't say that he gave the Christ.
It doesn't even say the Son of God, technically.
Right. But what you have in various texts, like John 11:27,
yeah,
is that to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is to believe he's the one who guarantees everlasting life. And if I believe in some sense that Jesus is the Christ, but I don't know where I'm going when I die, I've just proved
that you don't.
I don't believe John 3:16 or John 5:24
right,
or any of these other texts.
Like, Christ isn't just a name. It isn't just a word that you say. It's a title for his purpose and vocation in the world. Jesus comes to give eternal life to the world. I mean, that goes back to Genesis 3:15.
It does.
Where we have this death problem after the fall, and God is going to send a Messiah, the seed of the woman, to crush the head of the serpent to deal with this death problem. And right. How do you deal with death? The Messiah comes to bring life. So, anyways, maybe we can fit a small question in here, Bob.
Okay.
This is from Zach, and it's about Acts 2:37 and 38. He says, I'm struggling to see assurance as the essence of saving faith in that passage. Are you saying the moment that they were cut to the heart is the moment they knew for sure they had everlasting life?
Yes, I am. Now, of course, Acts 2:38 is a problem passage. It's one that a lot of people use, especially in the churches of Christ, to try to prove that you must be baptized to be born again. So we wouldn't go to a passage that's one of the more difficult texts in order to try to see that assurance is of the essence of saving faith. But
right.
Yes, in Acts 2:37, when Luke tells us they were cut to the heart, men and brethren, what shall we do? Not what shall we do to be saved, but what shall we do because we realize we've crucified the Messiah. And by the way, this ties right in with what we've just been talking about. Notice in Acts 2, verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's the Messiah. And he's the Messiah in this context who's guaranteeing everlasting life.
It's an implication.
An implication. But what I would say to Zach is, if you want to see assurances of the essence of saving faith, go to John 11:25 to 27, especially the question, do you believe this?
Right.
Or go to John 3:16 or John 5:24. Or Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, or Acts 16:31. There's a whole lot of clear passages that teach that, but I wouldn't go to Acts 2:36 to 38 in order to prove that doctrine.
I mean, not every reference to believe is going to tell you explicitly what the people believed. It's
right.
Implied. And
right.
So in this verse, you have to kind of just imply what it is that they believe.
Exactly.
Well, Matt and Zach, thank you for your questions. We love hearing from you. Keep on sending your questions to radio@faithalone.org, and we'll keep on answering them, Lord willing. We'll see you guys next time.
Next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about whether God will be omnipresent eternally in the lake of fire. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.